Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf tes vav in brachos. We begin on yud dalet amud beis, two lines from the bottom. Amar ula. Anyone who reads Kriya Shema while not wearing their tefillin, it's as if they have testified a false testimony. Why? Because Kriya Shema says, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we believe in one God, the unity of God's existence. So if you're not fulfilling that which it says in Shema itself, you're not wearing tefillin, so how you don't really believe in the commitment you're making in the statement? You tell your wife you love her, and in the same sentence, you're ignoring that which she just asked you to do. You obviously don't love her. So if you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you pledge your allegiance and alliance and loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time ignore what he's asked of you, so obviously you don't love him. Amar Rabbi Chiya.
Only
during the day when you're supposed to be wearing tefillin. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ki'ilu hikrav ola b'lo mincha v'zevach b'lo nechasim. But if you say Shema without your tefillin on, it's as if you offered a sacrifice, a korban ola, without bringing the mincha with it, or zevach without the nechas, without the nesachim, without the nisachayayin, without pouring the wine libation that is supposed to accompany it. Now, who is this testimony? What does it mean that it's as if you've offered false testimony? So Rashi, ki'ilu meyud edus sheker. Rashi writes lishna ma'alya. What is lishna ma'alya? What's Rashi referring to? It means that again you're testifying falsely that you're not mekayim mitzvos. So atzmo is lashon nakiya. You're testifying falsely about whom? About Hashem. According to Rashi, you're testifying that God is singular, unique, the unity of God's existence, but it's false testimony, because if you believed it, you'd be saying it while wearing tefillin. The Bach explains it differently. And if you look at Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah as well, Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah say that the Meiz Eidus Sheker is not about Hashem, the false testimony that you're offering is about yourself. Meaning that you're a hypocrite. You yourself are duplicitous. On the one hand, you're testifying that God is one, and on the other hand, you're not even listening to Him by putting on tefillin. So whom is the Gemara describing when the Gemara says that if you say Shema without tefillin, you're offering false testimony? Is it false testimony about the Ibishter? Is it false testimony about Hashem? Or is it false testimony about yourself? Machlokas Rashi and Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah. That applies to tefillin. Does it apply to tzitzis? What if you say Shema without your tzitzis on? What if you come to shul and you're not wearing tzitzis while you say Shema? So the Magen Avraham brings the name of Zohar, Magen Avraham Simon Chav Dalet Sivkat and Gimel, that a Kore Shema below tzitzis meyud desheker ba'atzmo. That the same thing would apply to tzitzis. If you say Shema, why? Because Shema also contains the mitzvah of tzitzis. So if you're saying Shema, you're not even wearing tzitzis, again, it's the same act of hypocrisy or disingenuous. You don't really believe that what you're saying because you're not fulfilling it. And if you believed it, you would fulfill it. What is the machlokas between Ula and between Rabbi Yochanan? Ula said, if you say Shema without tefillin, it's as if you're testifying falsely. Comes along Rabbi Chiya in the name of Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, if you say Shema without tefillin, it's as if you're offering only half a sacrifice. You're bringing a Ola without the Mincha. You're bringing a Zevach without the Nesachim. What are they arguing about? So you could say, according to Ula, you fulfill the mitzvah of Shema. You violate a separate, independent, parallel problem of false testimony. Is your Shema a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shema? Yes, you've been yotzei the mitzvah Shema. But at the same time, you're testifying falsely. According to Rabbi Yochanan, even your mitzvah of Shema is incomplete. Just like a korban ola without a mincha is incomplete, and a zevach without nechachim is incomplete, so too your very Shema is incomplete. So it's possible what they're arguing, the two of them, is your Shema incomplete if you offer it without wearing tefillin? I don't want to harp too long on these two lines. We haven't even started today's daf. Which is one more thing. The Sefer Divrei Shalom, which I quoted the other day, this Talmud Chacham from Bnei Brak. So he brings in Chelik Beis Simon Chaf Beis from the Chassam Sofer. Very interesting for those here, anybody who wears Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Chassam Sofer Shalai Akori Kriyashma B'Tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. Shechashash De'ein Alachik Rabbeinu Tam B'Tefillin Shalom Eino Tefillin. V'Avik Akori Kriyashma B'Lo Tefillin. D'Meyu De'Hidu Sheker V'Av Shekor Yati De'e Kriyashma B'Tefillin to Rashi. Even though one who wears two pairs of tefillin, to be yotzei the tefillin of Rashi and to be yotzei the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, said Shema when they put on the tefillin of Rashi. So ostensibly they've been yotzei the Kriya Shema when they said it with their tefillin of Rashi. We know they repeat Kriya Shema when they put the tefillin on of Rabbeinu Tam. The Chassam Sofer of Moshe Sofer's practice was not to do it. Why? Because maybe Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin are not really tefillin. The parshios are not in the right order. Let's say we don't pass like Rabbeinu Tam. His tefillin are not really tefillin. So if you're saying Shema again, it's as if you're saying Shema without tefillin on, And that's a problem. So you see, what did the Chassam Sofer hold? Chassam Sofer held that saying Shema without tefillin is not just about the original time that you're being Yotzei Shema. It means in general, during the day, you shouldn't say Shema without tefillin. Anytime you're saying Shema in order to be Mekabel O Machu Shemayim, you shouldn't do it without tefillin, even if you've already been Yotzei the mitzvah of Shema. It's a part and parcel of Shema that when you're being Mekabel O Machu Shemayim, do it while fulfilling a mitzvah. The last and final point I'll make on this is he also quotes something interesting. If you look at the Rambam, Perek Dalet, Hilchos Tefillin, Halacha Chavav, the Rambam brings down this halacha, that you're not allowed to say Shema without Tefillin. It's also quoted in the Shulchan Aruch Chaim Simon Chafei, which is Hilchos Tefillin. He asks a Divrei Shalom, and he doesn't give an answer. He leaves it in a Tzarech Iyan. Why is the halacha that you can't say Shema without Tefillin, both for the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch? Where is it brought? Hilchos Tefillin. I would think it should be brought in Hilchos Shema. It's a law in Shema. You can't say Shema without tefillin. So why is the rule that if you say Shema without tefillin, you're testifying falsely? Why is that brought down in Hilchos Tefillin? I've given a thought over the last couple of days. I do not have a good answer. If you do, please let me know offline. But why do the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch both bring down this law about not reading Shema without tefillin in Hilchos Tefillin rather than in Hilchos Kriya Shema? Says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rabbi Yochanan rotzei shekabel ol machus shemayim shleima. Person wants to fulfill, except ol machus shemayim in the most complete fashion. Yifneh should go to the bathroom in the morning when they wake up. V'yitol yadav and wash their hands. Negel v'asav yaniach tefillin and then put on tefillin. Yikra krishma, read the krishma. V'yispalo and daven zui machus shemayim shleima. And this is the most complete fashion to accept ol machus shemayim. Why do you have to go to the bathroom? Zeh halacha, to wake up with Sports Illustrated, go to the bathroom. What's pshat? So there's different reasons which are brought. Rashi says the reason is you have to check whether you have to go to the bathroom, because otherwise it's a toeva. Gemara calls it bal tashak, so you violate the pasuk. It's considered disgusting, it's considered repulsive, it's a toeva, it's undignified to stand and talk to the King of Kings, the Almighty, while one has to go to the bathroom, and they're holding it in. The Talmidei Rabbanu Yonah give a different answer. Talmidei Rabbanu Yonah answer: don't start davening if you know you're going to have to make a hefsek. So if you already have a sensation that you're going to have to go to the bathroom, that you're going to have to eliminate, and you start davening while you have that sensation, you're going to end up having to be mafsik. You're going to end up having to interrupt your davening. That's not a complete O Machush Kabbalah's O Machush Shemayim. So that's two opinions. Rashi, Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. Why is the first thing you have to do? Yifnei, go to the bathroom. And then you have to wash your hands, because that is Negel Vaser. That is washing your hands before davening. We'll see more about that later. And you have to put on your tefillin, you read Shema, and you daven, and that is the most complete Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Says the Gemara, Vayta Amar Bichia Bar Abba Amar Yochanan Kol Nifnei Venotah Yodol Meniach Tefillin Kori Kriya Shema Mispala Malol V'Kosov Keilu Bonam Izbeach V'Hikrev Alav Korban Dechziv Erchatz B'ni Kayon Kapai V'Asov V'Va Es Mispachecha Hashem. Again, if you follow this formula, you check if you have to go to the bathroom, wash your hands, put on tefillin, say Shema, daven. So the pasuk describes you as if you built an altar and offered a sacrifice to the Almighty, as the verse says in Tehillim, I will cleanse my hand and circle Hashem's mizbeach. So it sounds like cleaning your hands is like a korban. Amalei Rava. So Rava said to Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Lo Sovel Amar Kilu Taval. Is that it? All you feel is it's as if you washed your hands, as if you offered a korban. You don't see it as if you went to the mikvah, as if you were Taval, as if you totally purified yourself. Dechsiv Erchatz B'Nikayon V'lo Kasav Architz. It says Erchatz, which sounds, Erchatz sounds like I will wash my entire body, as opposed to architz, which sounds like limited to my hands. Look at Rashi. Tichsev erchatz b'nikayon, mashma erchatz kol aguf. Loksev architz kfilah drasha asa. Loma shemalav schar achitz kapav kilu tavo lo gufo. So you see that when you wash your hands before davening, before you come into shacharis mincha marv, you pause, you stop to wash your hands, as if you went to the mikvah. It's as if you cleansed your entire body. What do you see from here? What do you see from the Gemara? That there's a value to going to the mikvah before you daven. From the fact that one opinion of the Gemara is, it's as if you went to the mikvah, perhaps there's a value, perhaps the proper thing is to go to the mikvah before davening. So in fact, it's brought down by many. Some say that before shacharis you need rechitzas yadayim, rechitzas panim, yadayim viraglayim. In other words, you need to go to the mikvah like this pasuk assigned it, ki'ilu taval. If you look in the Mishnah Halachos of Rav Nasha Cotton Klein in Chelik Dalat Siman Lamed Aleph, So he brings down reasons to be machmir, to go to the mikvah before davening. Keneged karbanos, the kohanim were forbidden to enter the mikdash, the kohanim were forbidden to perform the avodah without having been tovel, without having gone to the mikvah. If our davening indeed parallels the karbanos, and we parallel the kohanim who offer ezi avodah shebelev zutfilah, then we should have to go to the mikvah before beginning davening, in symbolically paralleling the karbanos. And there in his tshuva chelik dalat siman aleph, Rav Menashe HaKohen Klein quotes our Gemara, that you see that one who washes their hands as if they were tavol. So what's the proper thing to do? What's the more ideal thing to do? Is to actually go to the mikvah. And this is the origin of those who have the minhag, to go to the mikvah every morning before davening. Says the Gemara Vayter. Yeah. Look at this Talmud Chacham, this young shtar guy. He came from Eretz Yisrael, and he said, anyone who doesn't have water to wash their hands for Shema and for Shmona Esrei, he can cleanse his hands using some earth, some pebbles, uvekismis, some wood, some sticks. So Rabbi said to Levina, Shapir Kamar. So this Talmud Chacham said, good. Miksev erchat b'mayim. The pasuk doesn't say I will wash with water. B'nikayon ksev b'chomide d'minake. It says I will cleanse my hands. Anything that serves to clean my hand is good enough. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine. We don't really see earth and pebbles and sticks as being cleaning agents. But in those days, they were cleaning agents. They were abrasive agents that if you had something stuck to your hand, it could clean your hand. It wasn't exactly Purell, but it could clean your hand. It's an interesting, we'll see right now, the halacha is you have to wash your hands before davening. It's an interesting halacha question, which is actually brought down in modern times. Can you use Purell to be yotze this halacha of washing your hands before you daven? Anyway, Rav Chista would curse somebody who went to go get water at the time of davening and would miss the time davening. They would miss zman tefillah because they were out pursuing getting water to properly wash their hands. So he would curse such an individual. Why? Because they are not fulfilling the strict halacha. The halacha is, the pasuk says, you have to need midi d'minaki. You need something that cleans. Lav dafka, it doesn't have to be water, says the Gemara. But by the way, the Rush brings down here in our Gemara in the back, in Simen Chav Gimel, that if indeed you use a cleaning agent rather than water, the bracha in the morning would not be the series in Birchas HaShachar, we say brachos. So one of them is Al Netilas Yadayim. So the bracha would not be Al Netilas Yadayim, it would be Al Nekiyas Yadayim, says the Rush. If you use one of these agents, Afar, Tzror, or Kismis, rather than the water, you'd say Al Nekiyas Yadayim rather than Al Netilas Yadayim. The Gra disagrees. The Gra in Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chayim Siman Daled quotes from the Rashba, and the Gra says, no, even if you're using one of these cleaning agents, you'd say Al Netilas Yadayim. People mistakenly think that Al Netilas Yadayim translates to on washing my hands. Ashik Tshonim Tzadot Tivano, God, you commanded me Al Netilas Yadayim to wash my hands. But we know the word Netilas, to be no-tail, doesn't mean to wash. How do you know that? Anyone tell me what bracha they make when they take their lulav and esrog? Al Netilas Lulav. I don't know anyone who runs their lulav under the faucet right after saying that bracha. Al Netilas Lulav doesn't mean to wash your lulav. It means to lift, to raise. Al Netilas Yadayim means to lift, it means to raise. It means we're elevating, we're spiritually elevating ourselves by having cleansed our hands in anticipation of davening or in anticipation of eating or upon waking up in the morning to get rid of the ruach ra. Whatever reason, Al Netilas Yadayim is to raise our hands. So the Gra quotes the Rashba that even if you're using this cleaning agent rather than water, you'd still make the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. Immediately says the Gemara l'kriya shema of al tefila mahadar. That which Rav Chista cursed somebody who pursued water, that was true if he missed the zman shema. But for tefila, for Shmona Esrei, you need water. For Shmona Esrei, it's not good enough to use one of these cleaning agents. For Shmona Esrei, where you're speaking to the Almighty, where Omid lefnei melech malchei hamlochem, for that you need actually water in preparation, in anticipation. V'yad kama. Oh, so v'yad kama, how far do you have to go in order to get water? Says the Gemara, ad parsa. You have to travel ahead of yourself. Let's say you're traveling, you're in a wagon, and you want to daven, you're stopping to daven. How far do you have to continue to travel? A parsa. How long is a parsa?
4 mil.
Parsa is 4 mil. Shkoyach, how long is 4 mil?
8,000
amos. It's anywhere between 2.5 and 3 miles. Anywhere between 2.5 to 3 miles. Says the Gemara of Hani Mila Lakame. That's true how far you have to go ahead of yourself. You have to keep going 2.5 to 3 miles. Avalachore. but you, to go backwards, in other words, to make you more further from your to your destination, afilu mil eino chozer. You don't even have to go back a quarter of a parsa. You don't even have to go back a mil. Says the Gemara, mil hu deino chozer, hapachas mi mil chozer. But you still have to go back less than a mil. So if the water can be found behind you, further from your destination, you're going to have to turn backwards. You still have to go a mil. But ahead of you, you have to go up to a parsa, which is, you have to go even all the way up to 4 mil.
Is the assumption there's a minyan?
No, even if there's no minyan, even if you're davening tefillah biyachid, you would still have to do this in order to get water. Is this the halacha today?
Yeah, but if there was a minyan where he was, he still has to go a mile further and then come back to this minyan like that?
Yeah, you have to time it to go ahead. Listen to Shulchan Aruch. Kodem atfila tzarech lichot yadu b'mayim neishlo v'mein lo tzarech lachzor acharei mad parsa v'davke kishuhu loich b'derech v'mayim nitzom lefanav alon tzarech lachzor u lachorov l'mokka mayim ad mil chozer yosem mil eino chozer v'misyori shiyavar zman atfila yinaki yadu b'tzorah b'ofer b'chol dover ha-menake imein lo mayim l'tzilas yayim tshachris kenech yadu b'tzorah b'ofer b'chol dover ha-menake v'yivarach ha-nekiyas yadayim v'yol atfila v'allah v'ruach rosh alayim. Fine, that's all for shachris. What about mincha marav? What about Mincha Marav? So Mincha Marav, you have to wash your hands too, but of course there's no bracha. The bracha on Tzilas Yadayim is only shacharis in the context of Birchos HaShachar. Now when the Gemara gave this measurement of a meal, or of a parsa, which is 4 mil, is that a distance measurement, or is that a time measurement? The Zman HaGemara, when the Gemara gave this distance, so it meant you're traveling on your wagon, or you're walking by foot, or you're on the back of your horse, keep going another 2.5 miles in order until you get to water before you daven. You need to wash your hands before you daven. Today, 2.5 miles, if you're in a car, how long should that take you? Depends how fast you drive. But 2 minutes. So is this a halacha that you have to go 2 minutes out of your way for water? Or is the halacha you have to go 2.5 miles out of your way for water? Which is it? So the Shulchan Aruch brings this whole thing down, of course, in Simen Tzadi Beis. Simen Tzadi Beis. But you have a similar halacha in Simen Tzadi, in terms of Negavah, so when you wake up in the morning. So the Pischei Tshuvos quotes here the following. Misharen shira ze lefi zman v'lo lefi hiloch. V'shira zman alichas dalad mil, 72 dakos. Umil, 18 dakos. So he says the time it takes to travel, it doesn't mean our time it takes to go 2.5 miles in a car. It meant, the Gemara says you have to go up to 4 mil, it means you have to travel up to 72 minutes to get water ahead of you, and 18 minutes behind you to get water. There in Simen Tzadi, it's dealing with how far you have to go for a minyan. It's the same halacha. So he says, if you know there's a minyan within 72 minutes, you're driving from here to New Jersey, and you're on the road, but it's time to daven shachris. So you can pull over and daven, or if you go another 72 minutes, you know there's a minyan, you have to go another 72 minutes. And if you know there's a minyan 18 minutes behind you, you have to go 18 minutes behind you. So the same is true for washing your hands before you daven. If you know you have access to water 72 minutes ahead, you have to go 72 minutes ahead. If you know you have access to water 18 minutes behind you, you have to go 18 minutes behind you.
You assume it going out of your way 18 minutes, because that would be behind you?
Correct. No, but let's say you're sitting at home. Let's say you're not going anywhere. So is that the status of you have to go ahead, or is that the status of you have to go behind? So the Rishonim bring down, the Mishnah Berurah says that a Yoshev Bebeso, that if you're sitting at home, that is the status of going behind you. So it's only 18 minutes. So if you're not going anywhere, you live in Boca, you're staying in Boca, you're at home, you just don't have water, the water's turned off, you have to go 18 minutes to get water to wash your hands properly in the morning before you daven shachris. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav of Hilchos Brachos Halacha Beis that the halacha of Netilas Yadayim for davening is the same chiv of Netilas Yadayim for eating. Whatever our standards of how we wash for eating, namely it has to be with a proper cup, and how many times on each hand, and the vessel has to be a complete vessel, and the water has to be a certain type of water. All of the standards, the criteria we have for water for eating, the Rambam says that's how strict the halacha is of washing one's hands for shachris. We disagree. We disagree with the Rambam. And we lessen the standard, but obviously we still require one halachically to wash their hands for davening.
Weiter.
If you can't find any water, even 18 minutes away from you, you can't find water. Again, if you're at home, the beer halacha says if you're at home, that's the status of having to go backwards. So you'll find 18 minutes somewhere.
It says here that if you can't find water, you could go this far, so
yeah.
Maybe you should
Yeah, even for tefillah, exactly. Okay, Zag the Mishnah, Tezvav Amad Aleph, Akore Shema V'lo Shmili Oz, no Yotza. You're reading Shema, but you don't say it loud enough to be able to actually hear it yourself. You're still Yotze, that's the first opinion. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Lo Yotze, Rabbi Yossi says no. Karav Lo Dikti B'Yossi Yosei, you read, but you slur your words. You're not reading in a distinct, clear way. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Yotze, Rabbi Yuda Omer Lo Yotze. Hakore Lo Mafreya, let's say you read out of order. So you read, B'Sha'arecha, Beisecha, Mizuzos, you're reading the words backwards. Lo Yatza, you're not Yotze. Karavata, you're reading and you make a mistake. Yachzor, Lamakam, Shata, you return to the place that you made the mistake and you pick it up and you continue to read from there. By the way, the Mishnah says here, Karal Mafre, you read backwards. What does it mean backwards? What I described was Rashi. Rashi says, Bisharecha, Beisecha, Mizuzos, you're reading literally one, within one pasuk, you're reading the words backwards. But the Rambam, Hilchos Krishna, Merak Beis Halacha Yad Aleph, understands no. Reading backwards means the Seder Psukim. Each complete pasuk as a unit you're reading properly. Reading backwards means you're reading the psukim in reverse order. What if you read the parshios in reverse order? Is that called the mafreya? So first you read vayomer, then vayim shemoa, then vayim. So the Rambam says no. How do you know you're yotze if you read the paragraphs in reverse order? That's not called the mafreya. Says the Rambam, that's how they appear in the Torah. Since Vayomer appears first in the Torah, you can't tell me that if you read Vayomer first, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. So if you read the Parashios out of order, everybody agrees you're Yotzei. If you read the Psukim out of order, that's how the Rambam understands. Rashi understands it's reading the actual words out of order, and that's what L'mafreya in our Mishnah means. Says the Gemara, my time, Adreb Yossi. Now you have to hold cup here. This Gemara is, for all of Brachos, the first 15 blot, it's been a lot of fun and games. It's been a lot of beautiful agarita. Now you have to hold cup a little bit. It's confusing. My time at Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi hold that if you're reading Shema, you're saying it, but you don't hear it with your ears? You're not Yotze Mishum Dechsiv, because stated in the Pasuk Shema. It says hear. Hear means hear with your ear what you say with your mouth. That's the very definition of to hear. The Tanakama, so what's the Tanakama's reason who says you're Yotze? He says, Savar Shema is Becholoshen Sha'atam Shemaya. Shema doesn't teach me I need to hear it. Shema teaches me I could say it in any language that I understand. Rabbi Yossi. So what does Rabbi Yossi do with Shema? What does he do with this halacha, Becholoshen Sha'atam Shemaya, that you can say Shema in any language? Says the Gemara, Tarti Shema Mina. He learns it means both things. You learn both things from the word Shema. You learn both things from the word Shema. Tanan Hasam, state in the Mishnah in Trumos, Cheresh Amadabra Ve'eno Shomeya, a deaf person who can speak, but who cannot hear. A deaf person who can speak, but who cannot hear. Rashi in Chagig explains it means before he became deaf, he learned how to speak. Before he became deaf, he learned how to speak, and then he went deaf. So now he can't hear, but he still can speak. So this individual, a chirish, normally whenever the Gemara references, we'll get up to in a moment, Mishnayos all over, particularly in Chagiga, reference a chirish, a deaf, it's not a deaf person is not exempt from mitzvos. It's a deaf mute who's exempt from mitzvos. The definition of a deaf person is a deaf mute. But somebody who's deaf but who can speak, who can communicate, they're considered a full ben das. Legabe mitzvos, they're considered to have full das. How do you say das? Yeah, full understanding, but they have the status of being a ben das. So except for things that they need to hear, which obviously they can't hear. Tosus and Megillah writes that in Daf Yates, that a cherish, whenever the Gemara talks about a cherish in halacha as being exempt from mitzvos, it's a cherish ein medaber, it's a deaf mute. But a deaf person who can speak, that individual is obligated in mitzvos. What about today? A deaf person who could communicate via sign language or other methods, do they have the halacha of a cherish who is exempt from mitzvahs, or they're like a cherish of a daber? So Shlomo Zalman Zatzal paskind that a cherish today, a deaf person who can communicate via sign language, is chayev in mitzvahs. Other than mitzvahs, you have to hear. Why? Because the very fact that what's the whole reason that a deaf person was exempt from mitzvahs is not because we are biased against deaf, God forbid. It means that in those days, a deaf mute was cut off from the world. They weren't a ben das. They didn't have any level of status. They couldn't communicate. But if you could communicate, then you had a status. You're obligated in mitzvahs. So today, we have the therapies and the ability to teach that a deaf person can still communicate, even if they literally can't speak, but they could communicate through other ways. So Shlomo Zalman says they would be obligated in mitzvahs. So here we're talking about the Mishnah in Trumos, Acherish HaMedaber Ve'eno Shomeya, who's obligated in mitzvahs. So, and he's obligated to take truma. Truma is the first separation we take from our produce. We have to give to the Kohen, and that's a 40th, a 50th, a 60th. depends on how generous we are. That's what we give to the Kohen. So the Mishnah in Truma says, Lo Yisrom, the Cheresh Medabav in Shamea should not separate Truma. The Imtaram Trumaso Truma. But if he did separate it, then in fact it has the status of Truma. Why is he not supposed to separate Truma? Says Rashi, Fisheina Shamea Bracha Shumavarchala. Because this deaf individual, even though he could speak, he can't hear the bracha that he would be reciting. He knows how to recite the bracha because he's a chayrish amadaber, but he can't hear the bracha that he would be reciting. And if he can't hear the bracha that he would be reciting, then he's not yotzei. Why? Because Tosfos here says in E Rabbi Yossi, Tosfos writes that the chacham are misakein that he has to hear with his ear, just like Shema. So says the Gemara Mantana, who's the author of this Mishnah in Trumos? Cheresh Amadavin Hashemeya David in Lechatchila Lo, which implies that this individual who's deaf but who can speak, even though he can say the bracha because he can't hear it, he shouldn't take Truma Lechatchila, but if he did, it's good Truma. So who's the author? Amar Rav Chista, Rabbi Yosi. It's Rabbi Yosi, same Rabbi Yosi of our Mishnah. Tisnana Koresh Mavaloshmila, Ozna Yotza de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Yomar Lo Yotza. So you see, Adkan lo ka'amar, Rabbi Yossi, lo yotze, el lagabi kriyashma doraisa. So no, maybe Rabbi Yossi holds that when you say something out loud and you can't hear it, you're not yotze. That's true for Shema, because Shema you're obligated in doraisa. Aval truma, but truma, even though true truma is doraisa, but the bracha on truma, all brachos except for birchas hamazon and maybe birchas haTorah are derabanan. So truma is doraisa, but the bracha is mishum bracha hu ubracha derabanan. So Rabbi Yossi, even though he holds with Kriya Shema that you're not yotzei even b'di'eved, maybe with trumos where the bracha is derabanan, he'll say you're yotzei b'di'eved. And furthermore, v'lo b'bracha talya milsa. And second of all, Rabbi Yossi would argue that whether it should be counted as good truma or not should not depend on the bracha. Even if you didn't say a bracha, but you took today in Eretz Yisrael, you didn't say a bracha, but you took good truma, the truma is truma. Once you separated it, it's good truma. So it doesn't depend on making a proper bracha. So maybe Rabbi Yossi, who in our Mishnah says you're not yotzei krishma if you didn't hear what you said, even b'di'eved, that's because it's deoraisa. And he's the author of the Mishnah in Trumos that a cheresh and medaber v'eno shomea, if he lechatchila should not take truma, lechatchila it's modeled after shema, but b'di'eved if he did it, it's okay. Two reasons. Number one, the bracha is derabanan. And number two, it's not whether it's good truma or not does not depend on the bracha. So the Gemara is not satisfied with that. Says the Gemara, no, who says the Mishnah in Truma is Rabbi Yossi? And that you have to explain it the way you explained it. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. And maybe the Mishnah and Truma and our Mishnah are exactly parallel. That whether it comes to Shema or whether it comes to the Bracha and Truma, in both cases Rabbi Yehuda would hold, lechatchila, you have to hear what you say. And b'dievet, if you didn't hear what you say, you still yotzei. And teida, and what's evidence that maybe this is true, that the Mishnah and Truma is Rabbi Yossi, is Rabbi Yehuda? Tiktani akorei. D'yevet in lechatchila lo, because the Mishnah says hakore, which sounds like not lechatchila hakore. You were reading, you read, you said. So it sounds like you're talking about b'di'evet. So maybe the Mishnah in Trumos is not Rabbi Yossi, and he'll distinguish between Doraisa and Darabanan, and that's why in the Doraisa case, even b'di'evet, you're not Yotzei, but in the Darabanan case, b'di'evet, you'll be Yotzei. No, maybe the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah in Trumos is exactly parallels the Mishnah in Brachos. In both cases, l'chatchila l'yotzei, and b'di'evet, you're not Yotzei. So Amre, they said, no, Rabbi Yehuda, they said, v'hai diktoni akorei. No, maybe don't use evidence from the fact that we use hakorei to say that our Mishnah here in Brachos was talking about b'di'eved. No, maybe it says hakorei lo diach hakochad Rabbi Yossi to amar d'yevet nami lo. Maybe the reason that we said Akore and brought the Dievet example is not to teach Rabbi Yehuda that he holds it's good, but it's to teach even Rabbi Yossi that he holds even b'dievet it's no good. Rabbi Yossi holds even b'dievet, if you can't hear what you said, it's no good. So where are we right now? That according to Rabbi Chista, Rabbi Yehuda would not require lechatchila to hear whether Shema or Brachos like Truma, and Rabbi Yossi with Shema, which is Doraisa b'dievet, will even b'dievet will require you to hear, or Brachos, which are Derabanan, will not require you to hear b'dievet. Says the Gemara, Bahama, I came to Rabbi Yossi. Why are you establishing the Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi, back to like Rabbi Yossi? Velahad Sanya. It says in the Mishnah, Lo Yivarech Adam Birchas Amazon Belibo, V'mbirech Yatza. You're not supposed to say benching in your heart. You can't say benching by heart without moving your lips without hearing it. But if you did, you're Yotze. So money, who says it? Lo Rabbi Yossi, lo Rabbi Yehuda. Di Rabbi Yehuda amar lechatchila nami yata. So it's not going to be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds even lechatchila you don't have to hear. That's how we touch Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. And it's not going to be Rabbi Yossi because Rabbi Yossi holds I Rabbi Yossi b'diavad nami lo. Rabbi Yossi holds even b'diavad you're not yotze when it's something which is doraisa and birchas hamazon is doraisa. Elamai. So which is it? Now we're dealing with three separate Mishnayos and we're trying to find one author of all three. You have our Mishnah, you have the Mishnah in Trumos, and you have the Mishnah about Birchas HaMazon. So we're trying to find the common denominator, and we're trying to find a link who holds the same thing in all three, which is that lechatchila you're not yotzei b'diavad, you are yotzei, or maybe even b'diavad you're not yotzei, or maybe even lechatchila you are yotzei. Right? There's so many permutations, and that we're trying to figure out. So elamai. So how do you want to explain it, Rabbi Yehuda? D'yevid in lechatchila. You want to say that Rabbi Yehuda always holds that lechatchila you're not yotzei if you don't hear, but b'diyevid even if you didn't hear, you are yotzei. Elah d'tani Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. So what Rabbi Yehuda quoted, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Cheresh medaveinu shemeh torim lechatchila. That a cheresh who can't hear but he can speak, he's allowed to take truma even lechatchila. So money, who is it? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yossi. Ti Rabbi Yehuda amar b'diavad in lechatchila lo. Vi Rabbi Yossi amar b'diavad nami lo. So now you're gonna have a problem. How are you gonna? Here we have Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda is quoting, and it can't be Rabbi Yehuda that we know that we're trying to say holds that b'diavad yir yotzei. Elo liolam k'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, you have to explain it to Rabbi Yehuda. V'afilu lechatchila nami. V'hal v'lo kasha. So you have to explain, no. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says you can read Shema and you don't hear. Even lechatchila you're yotzei. Ah, what are you going to do over here then? Where Rabbi Yehuda is quoting Shema ben Pazi. Lo kasha, it's not a stira. What do you do with the Mishnah about Birchas HaMazon? It's not a problem. Hadidei hadarabe. The Braisa that says that even lechatchila you don't need to hear what you're saying, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion itself. And the Braisa about benching that has a machlokas between lechatchila and medieved, that's Rabbi Yehuda bringing in the name of his Rebbe, that's not his own opinion. This not, how do we know Rabbi Yehuda has a different opinion than the name of his Rebbe? Because we have a Mishnah, another Braisa, sorry, a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Hakore Shema Tzarech Sheyashmila Ozno Shnei Shema Yisrael Shem Kino Shem Echad Amal Reb Meir Hare Yehu Omer Asher Anochi Mitzav Chayom Al Levavecha Achar Kavanas Alev Heinei Nadvarim. Reb Meir disagrees. Who says you have to hear it out loud? You can even say it by heart. That's what the pasuk says. Al Levavecha. We care about what's in your heart. We don't care about what you're saying with your lips. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda is quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, who holds you're allowed to say it by heart, even lechatchila. So you have a difference when it's not a stira within Rabbi Yehuda. We're saying in one case Rabbi Yehuda is quoting his own opinion, in the other case Rabbi Yehuda is quoting his Rebbe's opinion. So Hashadah says lahachi. So now that you arrived at this, and you've introduced now a third opinion. Till now we had Rabbi Yossi, who said even b'diavad no. We had Rabbi Yehuda, who said even lechatchila yes. Now we have a third opinion, which is Rabbi Meir, who says lechatchila yes, but d'yevad no. So now that you introduced us to a third opinion, afilu tam Rabbi Yehuda k'rabbei svirulei. So now Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have to be in disagreement with his Rebbe. You can even say Rabbi Yehuda is his Rebbe. V'lo kasha, ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore it's not a stira. Why? The brisa that says that a chirish amedaber ve'eno shameya can lechatchila doesn't need to hear it, that could be Rabbi Meir. And the brisa that says lechatchila he needs to hear, and b'diavad he doesn't, namely the brisa we have about benching, that could be Rabbi Yehuda in his own opinion. So you see, so again, it's very confusing.
More towards the
what? More towards, and we paskin lechatchila you have to hear what you're saying, and b'diavad if you don't hear what you're saying, you're still yotzei.
Why we say the first paragraph about when we bench.
We mentioned now the first paragraph we do for a different reason, which has to do with Zeman. We'll get up to that in the seventh paragraph of Brachos. We say one should even be saying benching out loud to oneself, the whole benching. Everything we say, we should be saying at a level that we can hear with our ear to be yotzei. And that's indeed what we pass. What?
How could Rabbi Yehuda be disagreeing with his own Rebbe?
He's entitled to his own opinion. He's a big enough Talmud Chacham. He's a big enough Talmud Chacham that he arrived that he's entitled to his own opinion. Hakori Kriya Shema Tzarech Lashmi Lozno. That's how we paskin. So what we paskin is even if you didn't hear your yotze, but you have to move your lips. Avam hir balibo lo yotze. Shehir in a gedibor. But if you didn't even move your lips, so all you had it was in your head or in your heart, then you're not yotze. Because hir or lav gedibor dami. Just thinking about it in your head is not gedibor. And you're not Yotzei. Donnie, I know I'm running out of time, but I can't help it. One more point. Rabbi Willig. in his Am Mordechai Simon Yud Beis, deals with this whole mission, this whole question that we've been going through. And he asks the following question. He quotes the Rashba. The Rashba says the following. I think it's a great question. We already learned the opinion that Shema comes to teach, B'chol Lashon Sha'ata Shomea. Both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agreed, because for Rabbi Yehuda it was Tarti Mashma, that Shema teaches, B'chol Lashon Sha'ata Shomea. You're allowed to say Shema in any language. Tzarech Lashmiya, Shema Asmina Dehu Tzarech Lashmiya La'azno, Dilo Lamali Yitzarech Rachman Al-Mishri Kol Lashon Shu Shomea. So what do I learn from the fact that any language that I have to hear what I'm saying, because it has to be out loud in a language that I understand. So pshita shari meino tzarach lashmi la'ozno afilu bihir alei ba'al mashari. If you don't need to hear, so what comes out from that? That if I don't need to hear with my ear, then it would be obvious that just thinking it in my heart is good enough. Umemela shemina she'ink peyde bein lashon hakodesh l'shar l'shonos. Elevade mid itzrach rachman l'mishrei chol lashon, memela shemina tzarach lashmi la'ozno. So the Rashba says, from the fact that the halacha, that the Torah has to tell me, shma, that I have to be shomea la'ozno, I have to hear it with my ear. So, I'm sorry, from the fact that the Torah has to tell me b'chol lashon, that I could say it in any language, so I also learn that I have to hear it with my ear. So the Shagis Aryeh asks, so say tzarech lehar teva shel lashon hakodesh. So maybe I have to be maharher, if I'm maharher in my head, I say it out loud in my head without moving my lips, but I do it with Hebrew, maybe I should be yotze with that hearer. So the Chazon Ish says, no, here who kavanas tziyuri hadvarim b'lev uvezel lo shayach lashon. Chazon Ish says, distinguishes his very definition of hearer is, you're not saying it in your head, you're thinking about the concepts, but without actually saying the words in your head without moving your lips. He has a whole essay here with the Shagas Aryeh and the Chazon Ish, and what would be obvious in the Gemara, we don't have time, but l'halacha l'maisa, we distinguish between moving your lips, even though you don't hear, which we said b'di'avid yotzei, and not even moving your lips, just saying it in your head, which we say you're not yotzei. Tanan also kol kshein l'kris l'megillah chutz mecher shod v'katan. Everybody is a candidate to read the Megillah, with the exception of a cheresh who can speak, but obviously you wouldn't be talking about reading the Megillah if he couldn't speak. So it means a deaf person who could speak, a shaita, a mentally disabled person, and a katan, a minor. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda allows a katan. Mantana, who's the author of this Mishnah in Megillah? So Gemara says, who's this Mishnah, the cheresh d'yevet nami lo? Who's the author of this Mishnah that sounds like a cheresh, even b'dyevet would not be yotzei if he read Megillah? Amar Rav Masna k'Rav Yossi. Rav Masna says it's Rav Yossi, it's not a kares shema v'lishmi la'azna yotzei v'Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi yomer lo yotzei. It's the Rav Yossi of our Mishnah. So mimai the Rav Yossi b'dyevet nami lo. How do you know it's Rav Yossi? And it means even b'dyevet you're not yotzei. Dilma Rav Yehuda hi ulechat chilu hudlo. Do you have a shapir dummy? No, lo sakadai tach tiktani, chirish dummy the shot of a cotton. Shma shot of a cotton, do you have a nami lo? Av chirish, do you have a nami lo? You can't say that this, the Mishnah in Megillah, is like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's only b'diavid, you're not yotzei, but l'chatchila, you are yotzei. I'm sorry, only l'chatchila, you're not yotzei, b'diavid, you are. Why? Because within the Mishnah itself, it seemed to liken a chirish to a shot of a cotton. Just like a shot of a cotton, for sure, even b'diavid are not yotzei. So certainly, a chirish, even b'diavid, not yotzei. And if even b'diavid, it's not yotzei, it's not Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Then it's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Avadil mahaka de Isa v'haka de Isa. Maybe you divide that a shot of a cotton has their own status and a chirish is different. Who says the chirish is doma the shot of a cotton? Umi matzis l'ukma k'Rabbi Yehuda v'amitani sefer Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'cotton. How could you say it's really Rabbi Yehuda? At the end of the Mishnah of Megillah, Rabbi Yehuda says machshir b'cotton. Sounds like michlal d'reish lav Rabbi Yehuda. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda comes at the end of the Mishnah and disagrees and implies that Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of the Mishnah agrees. If Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of the Mishnah, I'm sorry, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda it sounds like the first part of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. So you can't establish that the first part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and a chirish b'diavad is still good. So says the Mishnah, the Gemara, v'dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda hi, u'trei gavni kad mechazur, mechazur ha'chitani. Maybe the whole Mishnah of Megillah is Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe a chirish is b'diavad valid, and why does he distinguish at the end that katan? We say chirishot v'katan, and then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and is machshir b'katan. So he'll say, no, there's two types of katan. And what are the two types of katan? Mahachi katani, hakok sharon lekros megillah chutz mecherishot v'katan. Medva mabur v'katan shaligi lechinach. Av katan shaligi lechinach afil lechatchila kasher. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda shabiyuda machshir b'katan. Maybe the proper way to read the Mishnah is that the entire Mishnah in Megillah is Rabbi Yehuda, and even the beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda about a chirish, and the chirish the beginning of the Mishnah is Yotzei when b'di'evid, even though he can't hear, when he reads the Megillah, he's yotzei b'di'evid. So, why do we have cut in the beginning of the Mishnah and cut at the end of the Mishnah? Because Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between a katan who's a giyah l'chinach, 9 or 10 years old, like the Gemara in Yuma, and a katan she'ena a giyah l'chinach, a minor who's not at the age of being educated, who's less than 9 or 10 years old, who Rabbi Yehuda would agree is no good for reading the Mishnah, the Megillah. So, b'mayo kimta, I'm sorry, hold on, I'm just going to run out of time. B'mayo kimta ke Rabbi Yehuda. How could you say the Mishnah Megillah is Rabbi Yehuda the way we just described it? Two types of cotton. Do you have it in lachatchila? Lo. Elohad the Tanur Rabbi the Breid. Rabbi Shimon Pazi. Chir Shem Davin. Neshomei. Tanur lachatchila. Money. Lo Rabbi Yehuda. Lo Rabbi Yosi. Do Rabbi Yehuda? Do you have it in lachatchila? Lo. Vi Rabbi Yosi. Do you have it nami? Lo. How are you going to say the Mishnah Megillah is Rabbi Yehuda? What are you going to do with the case of Truma? And how are you going to say the case of Truma? You can't make that Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yosi. Elamai Rabbi Yehuda. Fi lachatchila nami. So you're going to have to say Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that even when you can't hear, you're still yotzei lachatchila. So Elohad Asani, what are you going to do with the Mishnah, with the Bryce about benching? Lo yivarech adam birchas amazim b'li, bavim birech yotza. Money, who's the author? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yehuda, Nami, Ahamar, Afil lechatchila Nami. Vi Rabbi Yosi, Ahamar, Afil b'diavad Nami, lo. Right? They hold the two extremes. So what are you going to do with the birchas amazim, which is the middle ground? So li olam. So in the end we say, no, the Bryce talking about Truma is Rabbi Yehuda. Vafil lechatchila Nami. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, even lechatchila, the deaf person who can't hear the bracha, the truma is still good lechatchila even. And you'll again say it's not a stira. In one time, Rabbi Yehuda is giving his own opinion. The other time, he's giving his Rabbi's opinion. Rabbi Meir disagrees and he says, you don't have to hear, you don't have to say it with your lips. It's enough to have it in your heart. So now that we've arrived at having Reb Meir, this is, you understand we're just reviewing everything we said before. Now that we've arrived at having Reb Meir, afilu tam Reb Yehuda k'rabbi svirulei. Now Dr. Sakuk will be satisfied. Reb Yehuda is not disagreeing with his Rebbe, because that, clearly the Gemara wanted to arrive at that conclusion that Reb Yehuda agrees with his Rebbe. So now that we've introduced Reb Meir, we're able to say that Reb Yehuda agrees with his Rebbe. That what? Reb Yehuda and Reb Elazar ben Azariah both hold that lechatchila you do have to hear. It's only b'diavad if you don't hear, you yotzei. And now, what are you going to do with the brisa about birchas amazon? So that's going to be Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds, just like with Truma, that even lechatchila you don't need to hear. So how do we pass? Rav Chista, Rav Shila, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Shem Mishim, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, v'halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his Rebbe, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Huh? What do I need to be told? Both. It says Gemara Utsricha, and I need both. If you would have just told me Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that if you read Shema and you don't hear it, you're yotzei, I would think that that means even lechatchila you're yotzei if you don't hear what you're saying. So you have to say, no, which Rabbi Yehuda is it the Halacha like? The Rabbi Yehuda who quotes from his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that lechatchila you have to hear what you're saying with Shema. It's only b'diavad if you didn't hear that, you're yotzei. And if you would have just quoted Halachas like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his Rebbe, Hava Amina, I would have thought that what does it mean that you have to hear Tzarech ve'ein lo takana? You have to hear, and if you didn't hear what you said, ein lo takana, you can't go back and read it again. You can't be yotzei. Kamash Malach Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. No, we learned that Halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. This in between shita lechatchila, you need to hear what you said, but b'diavad, if you didn't hear what you said, you are still yotzei. Okay, so it's complicated. I encourage you to go back today and review that. I reviewed it about 3 times last night, in the middle of the night, and it still remains complicated for me. So it's a lot of gymnastics there to figure out. Again, essentially, you have 3 separate brises mishnayos. You have one about trumos, you have one about birchas amazon, and you have one about shema. What is the common theme, the common denominator? Who is the opinion of all of these? We want to say it's the same person. And there's 3 permutations. It's possible to either say that when you can't hear, when you didn't hear what you're saying, you're not yotzei even b'diavad. It's possible to say you don't even need to hear what you're saying lechatchila, and the middle shita you need to hear what you're saying lechatchila, but if you didn't hear b'diavad, you're yotzei. And that's what we're trying to formulate: who is the common theme of all three, or who are we going to say is the final author of all three? And we end up having what we thought were 3 opinions: Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his Rebbe, and the Emunah throwing in Rabbi Meir that allows Rabbi Yehuda to have the same opinion as his Rebbe, different than Rabbi Yosi. So we have the 3 opinions: Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Meir. The 3 opinions correspond with the 3 possibilities that I described about even not lechatchila, even yes b'diavad, or lechatchila yes b'diavad no. Okay, so enjoy. Says the Gemara Vayter, Omer Rav Yosef. Everyone sees where we are? Machlokes b'kriya shema, aval b'shar mitzvos l'divrei hakol lo yatza. The machlokes about whether you need to hear what you're saying or not, this machlokes is in regards to shema. But when it comes to other mitzvos, what does it mean, other mitzvos? So look at Rashi b'shar. Rashi says when it comes to other mitzvos, I lost the place. B'shar mitzvos b'chol brachos. We're talking about the brachos and other mitzvos. So when it comes to the recitation of brachos and other mitzvos, everybody agrees lo yatza. Even b'di'eved, you need to hear what you're saying. Why? Dechsev, the pasuk says in Dvarim, haskes, pay attention, ushma Yisrael, and listen. So we learn from this pasuk, you have to hear what you're saying, and even b'di'eved, if you didn't hear what you're saying, you're not yotzei. Within shma, you could have the three opinions, depending how you learn the word shma, but when it comes to other mitzvos, you have, in addition to the word shma, you have haskes, which means pay attention, listen shtark. So therefore, it means even b'di'eved, if you didn't hear, you're not yotzei. Says the Gemara Meisvei. We ask from a brisa. I understand. I'll give you an example of another bracha, and there it says b'di'eved, if you didn't hear what you said, you're yotzei. So how could you tell me when it comes to other brachos, if you didn't hear what you said, you're not yotzei? Elai itmar hachi itmar. Amar of Yosef machlokes b'kriya shema dechsev shema Yisrael al b'shar mitzvos l'divrei hakol yotza. The opposite of what we said. No, the machlokes is with shema. If you didn't hear, if you're yotzei. But when it comes to all other mitzvos, then even if you didn't hear, you're still yotzei b'di'evit. Ah, ask the Gemara v'aksev. What happened to that pasuk that we just said teaches you have to hear? Haskes u'shma Yisrael. What are you going to do with that pasuk? And for the Gemara, hahu, that pasuk, the word haskes teaches me b'divrei seiraksev. That's talking about Torah, learning Torah. From that pasuk, we learn that a person has to grind themselves, crush themselves, cause pain to themselves. That may miss out small love. You have to really toil in learning Torah, and only if you toil in learning Torah will you properly require Torah. Will you properly acquire Torah? Why didn't we learn Shema? The Gemara was prepared to distinguish the laws of Shema, and Haskes Ushma Yisrael teaches me about the rest of mitzvahs. Why didn't we learn the laws regarding Shema also from Haskes Ushma Yisrael? Right? You have a pasuk, Haskes Ushma Yisrael, pay attention and listen, from which the Gemara at first wanted to conclude that you have to hear what you said, all mitzvahs, all brachos, and if you didn't, you're not yotzei even b'di'evid. Why didn't we include Shema in that? Why do we have a separate lidman for Shema, which lends itself to a machlokas? Shagasarya asks this. So Shagasarya answers, from the words v'dibarta bom, the pasuk clearly means to tell me that I'm not yotzei behirur, I need dibur. B'dibarta bom, I need to speak it, I need to say it. Hirur wouldn't be enough. So clearly, Kriya Shema is not within the pasuk of Haskes Ushma, because if I need to hear it, then I wouldn't have needed a pasuk to teach me that hearer is no good. So the fact that I have a pasuk to teach me hearer is no good, that lends itself to the possibility of a machlokas about do I need to hear it, and it's not subsumed under Haskes Ushma. That's how the Shagas Aryeh understands. The Shalmei Toda gives a different answer. From Vahayu Dvar Madrecha Al Vavecha, but leave that for now. Okay, Viter. So we see from Haskes Ushma Yisrael that B'divrei Hahu B'divrei Torah Ksiv, that you have to kill yourself over learning, to listen to learning carefully. Says the Gemara Kabbalah, Dikta B'Yosi Yoseh, you're reading, but you slow your words, you don't read carefully. So Rabbi Yossi said you're Yotze, and Rabbi Yehuda said you're not Yotze. So that was the Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Tavi, Amar Rabbi Yoshi, Yahalachi, K'divrei Shneim Lahakel. We follow the opinion of both Lakula. What does it mean we follow the opinion of both Lakula? Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that if you didn't hear what you said, you're Yotzei. And halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that if you slurred your words, you're Yotzei. Not halacha is like both of them about the same issue. Halacha is like both of them on the two issues they disagree on. Halacha is like the lenient opinion on the two of them we disagree on. V'amar Rav Tavi, Amar Yoshi, and my dechsev, what does the pasuk in Mishlei mean? Shlosh heina lo tizbana. These three things you'll never be satisfied by. Sha'ol, v'otzer, racham. V'chima inyan sha'ol eitzel rechem. What does the grave have to do with a woman's womb? What does the pasuk liken these two things, death or the grave, to the womb? And lo lomar lacha to teach you, ma rechem machnes emotzi, af sha'ol machnes emotzi. Just like a woman who has this orifice, something enters and produces zera. That's where a deposit of seed is made. Umotzi, and something exits. That's where the child emerges. So afshol machnes umotzi. So to the grave, a person enters in the time of death, and they exit the grave. Says Rashi, in the time of tchias amesim. Avalo dvarim kal v'chomer umarachem shemachnis bo b'chashoy motziyim mimenu b'kolei kolos. Just like the womb where the zera enters quietly, it's hidden, it's quiet, it's without a lot of fanfare. The zera enters, the seed enters, and yet it comes out b'kolei kolos. There's tremendous joy when the baby comes out. It's not privately, it's not intimate, it's not quiet, but there's a lot of fanfare. So sha'ol shemachnis bo b'kolei kolos. So death, the grave, which one enters with great fanfare, with crying and wailing, eino din shemotziyim mini b'kolei kolos. So kal v'chomer, of course you're going to come out of the grave with kolei kolos. So mikan shuvah la'omrim ein tchiyas ha'mesim min ha'Torah. So the Gemara says, this pasuk in Mishlei, shalosh heinu l'tzbana sh'otzorachem, this pasuk which likens the grave to the womb, is the origin. If anyone says, how do I know that there'll be a tchiyas ha'mesim, a resurrection of the dead? Where does it say that in the Torah? You point to this pasuk in Mishlei.
But it's like an asmachta, no?
Yeah, it's more of an asmachta. It doesn't mean literally. But there's a more fundamental question. This pasuk's not in the Torah. Mikan l'tchiyas ha'mesim in the Torah. If anyone wonders, where do you see the resurrection of the dead in the Torah? Oh, point them to the pasuk in Mishlei, which likens the grave to the womb. Huh? Pasuk's in Mishlei. So the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin says, when the Gemara quotes psukim from Ksuvim, it will sometimes give it the nickname Torah. In this context, Torah doesn't mean Torah proper, Chamishei Chumshei Torah. It means Torah as in Tanakh. Tani Rav Hoshea kamei de Rava. Rav Hoshea was learning in front of Rava. And he said the pasuk of Uchsavtem. So Uchsavtem akol b'ksav. So the pasuk of Uchsavtem, it has to be written. Everything has to be written. You have to write in tefillin and mezuzah, v'afilu tzavos. And you even have to write the words Uchsavtem and Ukshartem. You have to include the tzavos, the commands. So amar le damar lach mani. If someone says, who holds that you need to write the commands? Rabbi Yehudahi. It's Rabbi Yehuda. Amar le gabi sota. Olos kosev, tzavos ain't a kosev. When it comes to the mayim ma'arim, a woman who's suspected of infidelity with her husband sees her seclude herself, and he says to her, "Do not." He says in front of witnesses, "Do not seclude yourself again." And she goes ahead and secludes herself again. She denies an act of infidelity. She's forced to drink these waters, the bitter waters, the mayim ma'arim, that contain curses and that contain a scroll that have psukim of the commandments. So Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to the soto who has to drink this water, what's written on the parchment in the water? The alos, the curses, but the tzavos, ain't a kosev. You don't have to write the obligation. His bia oso akoin, the pasuk in Bamidbar, Parshas Nasa, you don't have to write that. So why does Rabbi Yehuda hold in the case of the soto that you don't have to write the obligation in the scroll itself? Because it says you write the curse. And the pasuk itself did not say write the obligation. But here, where it doesn't say, it just says write, so Rabbi Yehuda would hold, it means write everything, including even the obligation. So you'd have to include within the mezuzah and the tefillin the words uchsavtem and ukshartem. Says the Gemara, atu taima de Rabbi Yehuda, mishun dechsiv chasav. Taima de Rabbi Yehuda, mishun dechsiv alos. Alos in savos lom. It doesn't say, Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is not because of the word v'kasav, but it's because of the word alos, because it specifies specifically include the curse, but it didn't specify to specifically include the obligation. So itzrich. So the Gemara answers, no. The Brisa is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And itzrich. Tefillin and mezuzah still needs you to include the tzavos. Sagadai techamina neilef ksiva ksiva mehasam. Mehasam alosin tzavos lo, af hachanami tzavos lo. So kazarachmana uchsavtem afilu tzavos. We learn in our case from the inclusion of the word uchsavtem, you must write that even the tzavos, even the obligations, have to be included and written. So when you, in the tefillin and mezuzah, you don't just have the beginning of the parsha, but you include the psukim of uchsavtem, ukshartem, which are the actual what you do. Says the Gemara, Tani Rav Avadya, Kamei de Rava, he was learning in front of Rava, the Pasuk V'limaratam. So he said, V'limaratam she limutcha tam. Limaratam means that your learning should be whole. It should be complete. It should be full. That's how Rashi understands. Your learning should be tam. We'll see it in the next Rashi, Ben Advekim. Sheyitein Revach Ben Advekim. What does it mean, tam? That you put space in between the words. So you don't slur your words one into another. Ani Rava Basrei, so Rava heard this teaching and said back to him, Kigon, I'll give you examples, Al Levavecha. Art Scroll does a great job. In Art Scroll and Shema, they put a black line in between the words that end with the same letter as the next word begins, in which you're likely predisposed to slur. So it's easy to say, alavavecha. But if you say alavavecha as one word, or you say alavavchem or b'chol avavcha or b'chol avavchem esav b'sadcha vavartem meira haknaf pesil eschem me'eretz. So all of these are where the word ends with the same letter as the next word begins. You're easily going to combine them as one word, not reading it properly as two distinct words. So that's what Rava answers him. Yeah, that's what v'limadata means, limudach tam, revach ben advekim. Limudach tam, to have a complete learning, a complete reading, means to have distinguish, to pause between the words so that you're reading them properly. And again, like I say, Art Scroll does a great job in doing that. Amar b'chama b'rabbi chanina kol kar kriyashom medakti bo'z yaseh mitzanen in lo gehenim. If you read Shema properly and you don't read one word into the next, you don't slur them together, then you... Gehenim, hell, is cooled down for you. God turns down the thermostat for you. Shenemar, b'fares shaddai malachim b'tashleg b'tzalmon. So Rabbi Chama learns, al tikrei b'fares, which means prisa, ela b'faresh, v'al tikrei b'tzalmon, ela b'tzalmavis. Tzalmavis is Gehenim. So you can read the pasuk that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of you. If you read properly, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of you in Gehenim. What does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of you in Gehenim? He lowers the thermostat. Why specifically? Why did they come up with this example? What does having to read the words properly have to do with making it cooler in Gehenim? So, the Beis Yosef quotes a reason. Hatam shematzalanim choma Gehenim b'schus dikto ka'osios. The reason it lowers the heat of hell and the merit of the osius is because when you read the Shema properly with the words, when you cause yourself to pay attention to read properly, you're going to, the body gets, you heat up the body. You get passionate to read properly, you get your blood flow going, you heat up the body. So just like the heat you cause within your circulatory system to read properly, Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards you by heating up Gehenim so you suffer less. Okay, we'll end here.